are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Tonight, it is the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, hosted by myself and Ken Carman. All along the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, you can hear it right here on ESPN 850 WKNR. So we hope you join us for that. Of course, on television tonight at 7:30, it's the Mike Pettine Coaches Show on TV.
Yeah. W-E-W-S.
Woos.
Woo, woo. Woos.
It's like, it should be like Ric Flair should be doing stuff for them.
He definitely should.
Woos.
Channel 5, what time?
7:30.
And then what about Inside the Cleveland Browns, right?
Sunday at 11.
Sunday at 11.
Followed by Browns Countdown.
Browns Countdown.
At 11:30.
At 11:30.
News Channel 5.
Tune in, folks.
Official TV partner of your Cleveland Browns. Yes, indeed. Our show is, of course, driven by the good folks at Liberty Ford, and I'm about to get myself into another F-150. I got to tell you, if you want a truck, I had no idea what driving a pickup truck was like. Just had not been anything I'd ever done before. I love it. I will always want to have an F-150. It is so nice. The ride is so good. And it's so useful to have that bed.
The bed is nice.
It is. Oh,
I like when I, whether it be a rental car or borrowing a friend's truck to, you know, move some objects, which I've done a little bit of
indeed.
Moving. I too, in fact, enjoy driving a pickup truck.
It's
just
great.
High off the road.
Yeah.
I feel like you got something in common with a lot of other people who also have pickup trucks. You can do like the Jeep wave, but it's like the pickup truck wave. You know,
What's up,
buddy?
What's up? I like that.
Like the platinum, bud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You do get that. I enjoy that. You don't get that much.
No.
But you get that. You're like, yes.
You don't get that in Explorer, but I do love my Explorer as well.
Yeah.
2016.
I get that in my SRT.
People love the new grill. The new grill on the 2016 Explorer is very Range Rover-like.
It makes me want to grill some meats right now.
Not me. Anyway, let's get to the phones.
All right. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Let's go to Tim in Wadsworth. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, good. A couple comments about the Browns here. I'm 26 years old, and I've only really known our expansion era football, and frankly, it's been kind of rough being a Browns fan. I know we've talked about it in the past on the show, but just my concern is for the young fan base. You know, we see another pick in Justin Gilbert, a high draft pick, who isn't panning out at his position. And, you know, I'm in favor of trying him at wide receiver. You know, he's an athlete, and you've got to try to find a place for him somewhere on the team. But it just shows, you know, we got to really, I don't know if Ray Farmer's the answer at GM for, you know, these picks that just aren't panning out year in and year out. And we're in danger of losing a big portion of the fan base because I don't know any. I've never seen good football. It's books that I've read, you know, about the team. So I just wanted to kind of get your guys' take on whether you really think Justin Gilbert with his athleticism is going to pan out a wide receiver or if this is just a shot in the dark to try to salvage something from that draft. Thanks, guys.
I don't know the answer to that. John DeFilippo talking right now, and from the tweets that are coming in, it seems like he is a guy who, you know, they want to see what they have there. John DeFilippo saying, you know, it's definitely something we've talked about. We're going to explore it.
And what I hope doesn't happen, and I know it's just a coach speaking to the media, and the media can take something very small and make it very big, right? And that's kind of the way I talked about Terrell Pryor being here in training camp, a guy that I thought had a 20% or chance or less of making this football team, but yet was talked about every single day on the field or predominantly off the field. Is I just hope that the focus, as I mentioned earlier, is on football, is on the guys that are actually going to play in the game.
Yep.
Right now, okay, they're experimenting with it, which means he's probably multiple weeks away of actually maybe lining up somewhere, you know, in a game at wide receiver, right? Does that have any effect on the Baltimore Ravens football game? No.
No.
So talk about the Baltimore Ravens. Talk about what you saw to this offense last year and focus on how we're going to attack and beat those Ravens. Let's live in the right now. I mean, whether Justin Gilbert plays corner, is the water boy, or returns kicks, I don't really care. His impact on the football game is so minute.
Unless he returns one to the house.
Right, sure. I'll believe it when I see it, okay? But right now, it's so minute, focus, and that's not even offense. That's, okay, great, kickoff returner. Chris Tabor can talk about that. But John DeFilippo and Justin Gilbert should be one question, move on to the guys that are actually going to compete and win us a football game in Baltimore.
Hopefully that is all it was, and we'll hear that press conference
2 p.m.
at 2 p.m. today. Let's go to Terry in Cleveland now. Terry, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. Sometimes I go around and around with you guys, but on this one, I think you're right on the money. This is total desperation. I mean, I think Pettine knows that his job is in jeopardy a lot quicker than he thought it would be or anybody else after four games, especially with what Jimmy Haslam came out and said, everybody's safe and all that, which we knew wasn't true. And I just think, like I said, it's just total, total desperation. And as far as the spread goes, the 6.5, I guess with 2-1-3 ball clubs, you know, usually the home team gets 3 points anyway, so yep. You give them their 3 at home, right?
Yep.
And I guess they figure that the Browns are 3.5-point dogs, which they probably still are, even as bad as that Baltimore looks with no weapons at all on offense.
But they have been competitive, and that's what I was trying to talk about earlier. They could easily be 4-0 if they won the fourth quarter or the second half of the fourth quarter even in their first 3 games. So you like that. What would your line be on this one?
I'm thinking more around, and I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but if you're betting it, but it is a lot. I'm thinking more around 4.5. That's almost 7 points. Like you said, somebody said earlier, I think it was you. They're almost 7. They're not 7 points better than anybody.
Not right now.
Football.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, guys. I'll talk.
All right.
Thanks.
You got it, Terry. Appreciate the call, brother. Let's go now to Scott in Cleveland, talking about this Browns defense. What's up, Scott?
Hey, how you guys doing? Let it
show. Good, man.
Good. Thank you.
I just wanted to ask, like, I've been watching the games because I'm a diehard Browns fan, and I watched the defense, and it's just so stunning to me. I wanted to know, is it the scheme that's going on? Because is it, like, I know we can't set the edge at this point. So is that more the scheme that we're playing, or are the coaches just not asking the players, hey, what are your strengths? Because I know our guys can do it, and I know we can have a good defense. We've had one last year. So is it really the scheme, or is it just the players that need to be utilized to their strengths and their abilities and not just the scheme in general? Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
I don't believe either of these systems, offensively or defensively, especially with the state of the career for Jim O'Neill being in his second year as a defensive coordinator, John DeFilippo being in his first, is so rigid and has so much success from a scheme standpoint at other places or throughout their career that it's rigid to the point where you need players to fit this scheme. I think there's a lot of push and pull in creating a game plan. As we've heard from players, you know, some of the players' quotes that we get from the PR staff in regards to, their doors are always open. And if you've got something that you think is a good idea, something that you think we could be successful, because, you know, if Dante Whitner came walking into the office and said, hey, coach, man, you know, that zero blitz is killing us right now. Like, let's use it in these situations. You know,
Tremont's even talked about that.
Right. Or, you know, and let's get into this. Let's get into some quarters. Let's get into a little bit of more man-free or some robber situations.
Sure.
And coach is going to soak that in and go, okay, cool. And then he's going to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, Dante said this, Tremont said that, maybe Dansby said it. That's the overall feel of the leaders of this defense who are going to execute this plan. So let me see where I can, again, put that in our game plan and create those situations that play to the strengths of our defense and play to the, I don't say mental capacity, it's the wrong word, to the liking of the players that are actually out there executing the defense.
Well, because you hear about a lot from an offensive standpoint, right? The quarterback likes this play. He likes making this particular throw. He likes this route combination on this side of the field. That's what he likes. He doesn't like, for example, you know, throwing it left, to the left sideline. He just isn't as comfortable with
right.
it. And so you tailor those things. How much of that can you do defensively, given that it is by nature a reactive side of the ball?
You can. Starting from the front to the back. And I'm sure there's analytics for everything in today's world.
Of course.
How many of Paul Kruger's, and I'm just using him, I'm going to go front to back, Paul Kruger's sacks,
come
hurries,
from the right or the left.
Knockdowns come from him rushing on the one side versus the other?
For sure.
How many of Dez Bryant's, you know, rushes come from him working in the A gap on a guard and center, or in the B gap working between, you know. And then you look at where's our success come from in coverage? Does Dansby, Robertson, Kirksey have a better success covering a tight end or covering a back out of the backfield? Or, you know, so many analytics. Is Joe Hayden better lining up on the right or lining up on the left? There's a reason why Richard Sherman stays on the left side.
Yep.
It's his home. It's his island.
Yep.
It's where he's best. And I'm not saying that we need to do that, but there are analytics to support what puts you in a better situation and what does not.
No, I think you're I think you are exactly right about that. And that is a very, very good point. All right, let's get a couple more calls in quickly. Let's go Jim in Akron. Jim, welcome to the show.
What's going on, fellas?
Not too much, man. How are you?
You know, out here trying to make a living.
Right.
Absolutely.
Me too.
First, we need to do not free Methuselah in Brooklyn. Leave him to play Canasta or Bingo or whatever they do at the retirement home. But with Gilbert, you know, we have to find a way to get him on the field. I know you spent a high draft pick on him. And the short sample that we have with the ball in his hands, I think he can make plays.
Yep.
You know, first, I think the little taste of seeing him returning, you know, is a good thing. If you could find a way of getting the ball in his hands in the offense, I think that would be a good thing. And, you know, we need continuity with our coaching staff. You know, look at Cincinnati. Marvin Lewis has had horrible seasons, you know, of under 500, and they've stuck with him. I know Cincinnati's cheap, and that's part of the reason why they hung on to him. But we need to stop saying, oh, fire Pettin. You know, as much as I hate the Steelers, I respect their front office because they have that continuity. And the continuity starts with the head coach, and then it'll trickle down to your assistants and your scouting. You know, I think once we have guys with the job for a while, I think our scouts will get better and our drafts will get better.
Thank you very much for the call. And
thank you.
And I'm not changing my tune in my stance towards Justin Gilbert. If, in fact, this is something that the Cleveland Browns will be implementing and trying to, you know, force touches and experiment with Justin Gilbert, having been scared of being burned by, because what you're doing when you put Justin Gilbert in the football game and you're giving him the football, you're taking it out of Travis Benjamin's hands, Andrew Hawkins' hands, Taylor Gabriel's hands, fast, athletic guys that most likely Justin Gilbert will be filling in for in this type of play.
Right.
I promise you, for me, Matt Wilhelm, I'm doing it in the first quarter or the third quarter. I'm not experimenting in any type of, you know, second quarter when you need to go get that score to go into halftime because you've already deferred and you get the ball at half. I'm not risking it with Justin Gilbert. Or if the game's on the line in the fourth quarter and essentially every play counts in the fourth quarter, whether you're up by 14 or down by 14, I'm not giving Justin Gilbert because you're taking the ball out of another playmaker's hand who's been doing it a heck of a lot longer than the experiment has.
Yes. Yes. And at this point in the season, again, it's like what we talked about when it was Terrell Pryor. There's a learning curve. There is time that it is going to take to be able to have the success that you want
to have. It's all risk-reward. It's all risk-reward. And at 1-3, is everyone ready to risk everything right now?
No, but if you can find a way to help. What I just wonder about is this is a guy that I think you needed to continue to develop as a quarterback, a cornerback, and I don't. Does the time split hinder that if
yes,
he really is spending time and he's trying to learn, you know, learn what it is to be a wide receiver? It'll
yep.
be interesting, and I can't wait to talk to Coach Pettin about that. Let's get one more call before we take a break here, and we'll have Jim O'Neill on the other side. Ray in Atlanta. Ray, welcome to the show. He did drop. All right, Mike in California.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Mike. Good. How are you?
Good. I'm going to make a bold prediction here.
All right.
I think Justin Gilbert is a future Deion Sanders, and you just need to get out there and get his nose bloodied and trust the process. Just like the team is going through their reps as a team week to week, and they're getting better. That's my thought.
He's got to play. I agree with you on that.
I also wonder if in this process as a team, and I think Pettin knows exactly what he's doing. I think he's a good coach. We're just as fans, we're just not patient. And, yeah, we don't want to lose. But we've been losing, and we got to trust this process. I think that they are showing signs of greatness. McCollum is awesome. He's spreading it out to all the different receivers. Now the trick is to master the third down conversions and the red zone touchdowns instead of just field goals. If they can get that figured out, we're going to score 50 points a game. Nobody will get it. It won't matter how bad the defense. I hate to say it, but I don't think defense played that bad. They had three big plays against them because the linebackers emptied out. They blitzed, which I said, yeah, let's blitz, but it was a mistake. Rivers is not an idiot. He's been around a long time. He saw the openings, and he killed us with those three plays.
He did. Big, big plays, and that's something that this team needs to clean up, and I know that that's a point of emphasis for Jim O'Neill. And speaking of Jim O'Neill, we will hear from the defensive coordinator of the Cleveland Browns when we return right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.